2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to be just in one verse tonight. We're going to launch from this verse into something that I'm really, 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 really excited to talk about tonight. You may not have known this, but tonight we're going to be revealing some big shifts that we're going to make in the youth ministry that I think you guys are going to be excited about. And so my goal is to do that in the next T-minus 28 minutes and some odd seconds. We're going to do it. It's going to be amazing. Just don't look at the clock, because when you do, it stresses me out. So anyways, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, we're going to read that in just a sec. But we have been on this journey now for a full year. It is officially a full year of fight to the finish. Fight to the finish. And it has been bookended by these two verses, 1 Timothy 6:12, where Paul wrote to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. And then we see that later in Paul's life, he wrote a second letter to Timothy, who was a young pastor. And in 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul writes this, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And so there's this idea that Paul was trying to convey to Timothy. It is not only possible to start well in following Christ, it is equally possible to finish well as we breathe our last breath of following Christ this side of heaven. And so the Lord spoke this to me about 2 years ago, of just a theme of, hey, I want you to begin to walk the youth in Longview and Kelso and the surrounding area through what it means to fight to the finish. Because here's the reality. Jesus has not asked us to finish the fight. He has just simply asked us to fight to the finish. Why is that significant? Jesus finished the fight on the cross. He conquered sin and death. He did what only He could do. He paid the price that you and I could never pay. He made possible what you and I could never make possible. In that moment when Jesus breathed His last breath and He said, it is finished, He was saying the fight is over. The war is over. Now all you and I have to do is wake up every day, claim it in Jesus' name, fight to the finish. We do that every day for the rest of our lives, and we will end up exactly where we were meant to be on the day that we breathe our last breath. How many of you are excited to think about the moment you breathe your last breath? Ultimate promotion, baby. We get a new body. All y'all finally get to look like me. You get your resurrection body. You get to look toned and fit and buff like this. Dude, you guys are a hard crowd tonight. Oh my goodness. Maybe I'll sing for you later. We'll see how that goes. But tonight, as we continue our theme of fight to the finish, we're going to begin a new series tonight, and I've entitled it The Aim of a Warrior. The Aim of a Warrior. And here's the reality. We aim at a lot of things in life. And the reality is what we aim at determines the path that we take in life. And here's what I mean by that. If you aim to become a super rich, filthy, wealthy person, then that takes you down a certain path in life, doesn't it? If you aim to become a mom, married, husband, kids, family one day, like that takes you down a certain path in life, doesn't it? But if you aim to become like the best Fortnite player of all time, like that takes you down a certain path in life, doesn't it? There's some fights over here as to who the best Fortnite player is. I'll just let you guys know it's me. But here's what I've come to learn, is that what we aim at, the target that we paint, and the direction in life that we say that we're going, none of that matters if we don't know where we're starting from. What you're aiming at carries little significance if you don't know where you're starting from. And so tonight, I'm going to do a couple things. Tonight, I'm just going to let you know ahead of time, the message is going to be a little bit different. We're going to do a little bit more vision casting than normal as we project what the new year is going to look like. But I'm also going to, in the midst of this, set up our new series and tell you what I believe the aim of a follower of Jesus looks like and what the starting point of a follower of Jesus looks like, and then tie all of that in into what that looks like as a youth ministry going forward. And so without further ado, 2 Corinthians 5:9 says this: "So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim." Somebody say aim. Somebody say aim. "So we make it our aim to please him." This is what Paul is saying when he says home or away. Wherever we are, regardless of what we're doing, regardless of what circumstance we find ourselves in, whatever situation, whether we're in heaven or we're here on earth, whether we're in a good spot, whether we're in a bad spot, whether we're in a hill or a valley, the goal of our life is to please Jesus. That is our goal. And so with that, the aim of a warrior, part one, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much. What an honor, Lord, it is to sit under your teaching tonight. God, what an honor it is to meet with you tonight. And God, as we cast a vision for this upcoming new year, God, as we talk about the shifts and changes we're going to make that we really believe is going to make a difference in this community, is really going to touch the lives of other teenagers in this community. God, I pray that you would get us excited for what's next. Lord, I pray that you would motivate and stir our hearts with faith and zeal for what's around the corner, for what you're sending on the way, Lord, for what you're stirring, what you're cooking up, what you have in store for this youth ministry. And so, Lord, would you open our hearts tonight? Would you deposit faith in each and every one of us, we pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say, amen. 2 Corinthians 5:9. I'm going to read it one more time for you. "So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him." This is why I say it doesn't matter what you're aiming at if you don't know where you're starting from. This is why I say that. Think about this. You ever tried to give somebody directions to your house? And you're like, "Hey, I'll tell you how to get here. Just tell me where you're at." And they're on the other end of the phone, or maybe they're texting you or Snapchatting you or Instagramming you or tweeting you or whatever you do. And they go, "Well, I don't know where I'm at." That's not really helpful, is it? I mean, how do you get person point A to point B if they don't know where point A begins? Right? It doesn't make any sense. And here's the thing that we've got to recognize, is oftentimes we get so excited about trying to take our next step in Jesus, we get so riled up about wanting to move forward in our faith and conquer all these things in Jesus' name, and what we see is what we think is in front of us, but we're completely unaware of where we're starting from. And so I want to submit to you tonight what I believe the most foundational starting point is for every single believer who claims Jesus and says, "I'm a follower of Jesus." It has to be true of every single one of us. If this is not true of every single one of us, I believe with everything in me, try to step forward, you will always frustrate yourself, you will always walk in circles, and you will always feel stuck. If we cannot get this one simple truth in us, and it is simply this, it's up on the screen: I belong to Jesus and define who I am by what his word says. It is the starting point. Where do we start in following Jesus? I belong to him. And not only do I belong to Jesus, but I define who I am by what his word says. And the reason that's so important is because it all boils down to what we do with the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter how good you are in your Bible reading. It doesn't matter how faithful you are in your worshiping. It doesn't matter how awesome you are in your serving. If you don't believe deep within you and you have not had that salvation moment where you have surrendered everything to Jesus and committed him as Lord and leader of your life, it makes a difference. What we do with the name of Jesus is of the utmost importance. It is of the utmost importance. And so if we belong to Jesus, and if we believe that we belong to Jesus, then it should be our aim to become like Jesus. That should be our aim, to become like Jesus. And so how do we do that? We become like Jesus as we walk our own path, as we run our own race, as we fight to the finish of our race, our lane, not somebody else's lane, not crossing over into somebody else's life, not comparing and contrasting ourselves to others. No, it's in our lane, our race, our fight. And it's in the midst of that we grab a hold of this. It is to pursue God's purpose for my life. What is my fight? It is my purpose for my life. What's my race? It is to fulfill God's purpose in my life. And as I do that, I become more like Jesus. As you do that, you become more like Jesus. Now, here's what's cool about that, is your race will look different than mine. Your fight will look different than mine. Your journey, your adventures, your obstacles, your giants, your ups and downs, your hills and valleys, all of it will look different. Your struggles will look different. Your strengths will be different. Your gift mix will be different. Your personality is different. Thank you, Jesus, because the world can only handle one Levi. Who said amen? That's all right. I set myself up for that. It's okay. It's okay, Jules. We'll fight later. I'm going to pull you into my lane and we'll fight to the finish. But you have your own fight. You have your own race. You have your own lane. And this is what Jesus said right before he ascended to heaven. He created a universal aim for all of us. If the individual aim of the person who follows Jesus is to begin to pursue God's purpose for your life, the universal will for all of us is found in Matthew 28. Go ahead and go to it. Matthew 28, verse 19, it says this. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He said, go, therefore, and make disciples. Jesus made the aim simply this. That the aim, the target, the thing at which we're striving for, the thing at which we determine how mature we are, the thing upon which we determine how successful we are, how faithful we are, is how we impact people around us. If we are a faithful follower of Jesus, there should be an inner magnetism about us that draws people to Jesus. Even if they don't agree with us, there should be something in us that they go, there's something different about you. And I either like it or I hate it, but I have to acknowledge that there is something different about you. Jesus said it was to go and make disciples. And so here's what we're committing to. Let me say this first. This was the mandate. This was one of the last things Jesus said. This was one of his last pieces of information before he finally ascended to the throne and his physical presence was no longer on planet Earth. And how many of you know it really is important to hear the final words of somebody right before they leave planet Earth? I mean, those are some of the most meaningful, oftentimes the most impactful, oftentimes the most substantial words you hear from a person. I mean, I've heard stories of families being restored as somebody laid on a dying bed and just said, I'm sorry. I forgive you. I'm so sorry I wasted decades of our life. Would you forgive me? The final final words that somebody leaves behind leave a lasting imprint. They leave a mark upon which we are to build. And Jesus' last words were, go therefore and make disciples. Notice he didn't get together and sing a bunch of songs. Notice he didn't say get together and eat a bunch of food. Or get together and play a bunch of games. Or get together and do a bunch of Bible studies. He said go and make disciples. And so this is something that we recognize as a youth ministry that we want to begin to be a little bit more intentional about. Jesus' aim for our lives individually and our lives as a youth ministry is to become disciples who make disciples. We become disciples who, even when we're out in the real world, people look at us and they're drawn to us in such a way, and they're like, dude, I want what you have. Like, there's something significantly different about you. How you handled that was amazing. I don't understand why you have one line of blessing after another. Man, what is going on? What do you have that I don't? And so there's a shift that we want to make as a youth ministry to help us become a little bit more intentional in this discipleship process. And this is how we believe as a youth ministry we can best equip you to become a disciple who makes disciples. It's going to be through four C words that here at our church comprise our logo. You'll see it if you download the app, but really is the driving philosophy of why we do church and how we do church. And so I want you to see these. The first one, let's just go through all four. It's going to be Christ, Church, Connect, and Community. Christ, Church, Connect, Community. If you're taking notes, I want you to write that down or take a picture of it or memorize it. Christ, Church, Connect, Community. And this is what we mean. With Christ, everything, we've already talked about this, but I'm just going to rehash this. Everything begins with making a decision about Jesus. But what we've got to understand is that Jesus didn't say, go and make decisions. Jesus said, go and make disciples. And so we make the decision to follow Jesus, but then we become disciples who get plugged into number two, the church. And we come to this area regularly on a Wednesday night as training ground to encourage us, to build us up, to mature our faith, to give us the tools that we need, so that as we hit the ground running Thursday morning at school, we have everything we need. We're energized, we're filled up, we're charged up, and we're ready to be dispensers of God's grace. We're ready to bring hope to those who desperately need it. The world is looking to us. I know it doesn't feel like it, but hear me when I say this, though. The world is looking to us. They're looking for solutions in all the wrong places. And I'm telling you right now, the answer that the world needs, the answer that our nation needs, the answer your friend needs, the answer your school needs is Jesus. It's church. It's where we come to get trained and equipped and built up to be sent out. But then it's number three, it's connect. And connect is where we actually connect with one another. And this is going to blow your mind. You probably didn't even know that this was possible, but connecting with each other without technology. The Connect Night is an opportunity for us to gather in circles, to learn in circles rather than learn in rows. And here's why we believe that this is so important. We believe here at this church that discipleship happens best in circles, not in rows. It happens best when you get the opportunity to ask a difficult question. It happens best when you get the opportunity to go, hey, can you clarify that for me? It happens best when you have a circle of people around you that you trust that you can go, dude, me and Jesus, we were like this yesterday, but we like this today. And we need, and here's the reality, we all feel that way. At some point in our life, we all struggle with that. But some, for some reason, we think we've got to hide it. We think we've got to put on this face, this show, and go, oh, no, me and Jesus, yeah, we tight, it's all good. But behind, at home, behind closed doors, things ain't good. And it's fake, it's phony, and it's not real. And it's not my Jesus. And it's not the Jesus we read about in the Bible. When we get in real, authentic community to be real with one another, that's when real discipleship happens. When you can come with your doubts and say, you know what? I know the Bible talks about healings. I've never seen it happen. Every time I pray, it doesn't happen. I don't know if I believe that's real. Excellent. Let's begin the dialogue about that. Let's talk about that. Bring your doubts. See, listen to this. I heard a pastor say this. I thought it was so good. Faith is not the absence of doubt. Faith is the means by which I overcome my doubts. Do you see the distinction? Sorry, I had a cough up there. Do you see the distinction? It's totally, I lost all of you. Okay, four, community. When Jesus said, go and make disciples, in that culture, they would have understood it did not mean go to other people in the church and have cute little Bible studies. When Jesus said, go and make disciples, they understood that that meant they had to get out of their circle of influence. They had to go meet strangers. They had to go to people who they knew but maybe didn't believe the same thing, and through some way, somehow, some miracle, begin to open a door of relationship so that they can begin to dialogue and have conversation about who this Jesus is. This guy that they crucified but is now resurrected, is now sitting at the right hand of the Father and has an amazing plan for them, died for them, and wants to accept them into his loving arms and spend eternity with them. It's good news. But they understood that community meant they had to go outside the four walls of the church. And so here's what this is going to look like for us. You're like, cool, four words, they progressively get bigger. They all start with C, and it's a nice philosophy. Here's how we're making this practical, and here's the shift that we're making come Wednesday night. We are taking those four C's, and you need to pay attention to this. Don't miss this. Otherwise, you're going to be really confused when you show up next week and the weeks after. We are taking those four C's, and we are turning those into four different experiences for you on a Wednesday night. The first Wednesday of the month will be our Christ night, tonight. The second Wednesday of the month will be our church night. The third Wednesday of the month will be our connect night. And the fourth Wednesday of the month will be our community night. Come on, somebody. So here's how that's going to look practically for us. The first Wednesday of every month, when it is our Christ night, the whole purpose of that night is going to be to preach a message, getting people to respond to salvation, to Jesus for the very first time, and recommitment. But I'm going to believe that the first Wednesday of every month, we're going to see this place filled with people who don't know Jesus, and somebody's going to get up here and preach about Jesus, and then we're going to see 10s, 20s, 30s, hundreds one day, come on somebody, of people surrendering their life to Christ saying, hey, my way doesn't work, I'm surrendering to Jesus. Come on, how many of you could believe for that? That would be amazing. And then the next week, church is where we're going to invite all of you to come back, and church is all about next steps. Church is all about, like we talked about, training ground to help you take your next step in Christ. So week two, we will always continue this series with the thinking of, hey, this is the next installment in our series to help you take your next step in Christ. Regardless of where you're at, there will be multiple next steps that will apply to everybody. It will challenge you where you're at to get up out of your seat, to begin to do something different, to begin to think different, to begin to live different, and to begin to just do Christianity a little bit differently, a little bit probably uncomfortable. But it will stretch you, it will grow you, it will mature you, and it will radically change your life. It's church. And then connect. It'll be the third Wednesday of the month, and this will be our small group night. This is where we will continue the series that we're in, but we won't do it through a message up front. We're going to continue the series through questions in small groups, through your connect groups. And you're going to continue to wrestle through a thought. You're going to ask difficult questions. You're going to challenge each other's thinking. But it's going to be a safe place for you to build relationship with one another, for you to be real and authentic with each other, and to grow and learn from one another. It's going to be an amazing time. And then community night, which is the most different night out of all four of these. Community night, there will be no message, there will be no small groups. Community night is going to be a night where we are going to focus on our community, both here in the church and the community that we live in. And what that's going to look like is you will have an opportunity the fourth Wednesday of every month to be a part of what we're calling dream teams. And dream teams are simply this. Dream teams are different ministries within the youth ministry that help make the youth ministry function. They're different avenues, different opportunities, different teams that just simply help put together a Wednesday night. And every fourth Wednesday, we're going to set aside that time to just work in those teams. Also, I told you we work in the community of the church, but it would also be focused in the community that we live in. What we're going to do is one of those teams, every single month, we're actually going to send into the community to go bless somebody. I already have a couple ideas of what we're going to do. It's going to be awesome. We're going to do some projects for some people. We're just going to go bless some families. We're just going to go buy groceries for some people. But we're going to focus that night on being community-minded. Do I think it's important that you get fed? Yes. Do I think you need to be taught? Yes. Do I think you need to worship? Yes. But I also think we need to heed Jesus' words very carefully to go and make disciples. It is part of the discipleship process. And so the fourth Wednesday of every month, you'll have the opportunity to be part of a dream team. And we will talk about dream teams more as we get the ball rolling. In fact, next week we'll have brochures for you so that you can see all the different dream teams that you get to choose to be a part of. But the Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 4, that God gave to the church all the different gifts. There's a fivefold gifts for the purpose of equipping the saints, meaning equipping you to do the work of the ministry. Here's where we go wrong in American culture today. We think in American church that the pastor is the one who is supposed to do all the work at the church. That because he's the one who gets paid, he is the one who is supposed to do the work. It's his fault if the youth ministry doesn't grow. It's his fault if the worship isn't any good. It's his fault if the slides are done wrong. It's his fault if the lights aren't turned on right. It's his fault if X, Y, and Z, blah, blah, blah. That's a very, very American mindset. Because the Bible in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 says that my job is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. My real, from God's perspective, my job description is to train you and to develop you and to mentor you as best I can so that you can be as successful as possible in making disciples who make disciples. That's my job description from God's perspective. And so we're going to shifting to this model of discipleship in the way of Wednesday nights, because we believe that this is what it's going to take to be the most effective in reaching our community. That's what we're aiming at. But I want to bring you full circle real quick. Remember what we said at the beginning. It doesn't matter what we aim at if we don't know where we're starting from. This is awesome. That is great. I love that we're aiming at that. But we've got to take a moment here to just recognize something. If our starting point is, if this statement is not true of us, we will continue to wander lost. I belong to Jesus and define who I am by what his word says. I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. social media, His Word. And so I just want to take a private moment. I want us to just all close our eyes, bow our heads. And I just want to, I'm just going to give opportunity for anybody who needs to make this decision tonight, make this their starting point. Tonight you recognize that this is a starting point that is not true for you in this season of your life. Maybe you've wandered from the faith. Maybe you've never made this decision before and you're like, you know what? I want to aim at discipleship. I want to become that person. But I recognize tonight that I need to start here. I need to start by recognizing that I belong to Jesus. And so if that's you, on the count of three, with all eyes closed, all heads bowed, nobody looking around, if that's you, I just want you to slip up your hand on the count of three, and I just want to pray with you. It's not to embarrass you, but we want to welcome you into the family. This is a safe place where you can come and be you. And so one, if that's you, man, we're so excited for you. Two, we've been praying for you. Three, if that's you, would you just slip up your hand right where you're at? Nobody's looking. Heavenly Father, you're so good. Hey God, we're excited as we look forward into the future. Lord, we're excited as we think about what's to come. Lord, we're excited as we gear up for another school year, as we think about all the amazing things that you're going to do. Lord, I pray that you would just deepen our faith tonight. God, would you stretch our faith this year? Would you grow our faith? Would you test our faith? Would you draw us into a deeper faith this year like we have never known? God, challenge us to step out of our comfort zone more often this year than we ever have. God, expand our circle of influence. Expand our circle of friends. God, help this youth ministry grow. Help each and every one of these young people grow in their faith. God, I pray that by this time next year, young people under the sound of my voice tonight would not even be able to recognize themselves because of how far they've come in you. And God, we just claim maturity in this house, this year, in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we invite you in to this process. Help us be more outward focused this year than we have ever been before. Help us to see people with your eyes. Help us to see people with compassion. Help us to see those who are lost, hurting, and broken. Help us to see those who truly, truly need to hear the hope about Jesus. And in those moments, Lord, would you give us the boldness to respond and just the courage to speak. And so, Lord, we love you and we thank you ahead of time for all the amazing things you're going to do this year, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, Amen.